You know how to use those, right?
No, I don't know what I'm doing.
You've talked into microphones. Don't bullshit me, Steve.
How many times have you done interviews? I mean, you had to do some surfer stuff, right?
I was editing Surfer Magazine, so there'd be a thing sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk real quiet like that the whole time?
That's his voice. Welcome. Here we go.
And I'm not Tony Hawk.
My brother's here. My older brother, Steve Hawk.
Yeah.
Yay.
One who introduced me to skateboarding and many other vulgar activities.
Wait, vulgar?
I mean, he's my older brother, so...
I don't want to ask
you. You know
what?
You're not your
like
version of vulgar.
Fighting or something?
Yeah, your version of vulgar.
My version was
far outweighs.
Was fighting. Well. It was going to be fighting.
All right.
God.
Like gross.
It's always
just gross stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Like toe jam or something.
Took me to see. I'm spacing. What was it?
I got knocked out way more recent than you.
What's that?
Oh, Richard Pryor.
You took me to see Richard Pryor,
The movie.
Live comedy special when I was not old enough to really understand it.
I think that was his movie. I don't think we saw him actually live. I think he had his
the
live
movie.
Movie
yeah,
came
the
out.
Movie. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Pryor live. Which on Sunset Strip.
Yeah, but the movie was of his stand-up.
Of his stand-up,
which was
the raunchiest. Yeah. I mean, I loved it.
One of the best comedy movies. Stand-up comedy movies ever made.
He's one of the greatest comedians that's ever existed by far. Still to this day, Comedy Store is like, he's a golden god.
Yeah.
Bobby Lee has like pushed him in a wheelchair on stage, and Bobby Lee, he's also a legend, but his story of touching him is legendary.
Like,
I rolled Richard Pryor on stage, and I'm like,
amazing.
You did?
Yeah.
What was that like?
And yeah.
Like, he sounds like a god when he talks about being that close to Richard Pryor.
But I don't think that our mom and dad knew that's where I was going to see the movie.
Right.
Probably not.
Probably not.
No. So 79, that you would have been 11.
Yep.
What made you want to hang out with him?
So I'm 12 and a half, 13 years older?
Right.
Well... I liked him. Like, he was just likable, even though he could be a terror.
I see that.
He could be a terror.
Yeah.
But I knew someday he was going to be rich and famous. So I wanted to be.
You lie. You lie. That's one of my first questions. Like, being an older brother and being a surfer and being an athlete, and then you get him into skating, and then he becomes this jerk off that can, you know what I mean? He's like the king of all jerk offs.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like, when you were younger, were you ever jealous or anything?
No, because fortunately, by the time he really got... Well, first of all, we didn't have any sibling rivalry because it wasn't like we were 2 years apart and we were going to fight. You know, like I was 12 years older. I was changing his diapers.
He was in college by the time I started skating.
Okay.
And then we skated together for a few years.
Once a week, you come pick me up.
Yeah.
What was that level like when you first started skating together? What was your level?
I was way better. It was killer.
Was that? What,
he was.
I can't tell if you're serious or not.
No, he was. He was.
And it was. Yeah. And did you think
That wasn't like we were competing.
I know, but he wasn't anywhere near as good as you.
Well, I was there the first time he stood up on a board. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah.
But did he? Did you ever, when he first started, did you go, man, he might actually be pretty good, or did he not show any of that? Mm-hmm. He didn't show any of that, right?
Not for a long time. Yeah, not for a few years.
I remember you would. Were you living in Santa Barbara then?
Mm-hmm.
So he's living in Santa Barbara in San Diego. It's pretty far drive.
Yeah.
But once a week, he would come take me to Oasis Skate Park.
Is that the only time you would get to skate?
Kind of at the park, yeah. Because I wasn't getting rides there a lot from...
Your parents weren't taking you?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was more like just a special thing to go do. I didn't think that I was going to be living there all the time. Then it was just like, oh, I'm going to go skate with Steve.
So you were like, that's like you looked up to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would come down and you'd be like, hell yeah, hey, I'm my older brother.
Yeah, like I think it was on Wednesdays and I'd like, hey, and he'd pick me up and go.
Well,
I remember,
was probably when I was home for the summer because I don't know if I was coming down every week when I was in college.
Yeah, I remember something about once a week, but maybe it was when you were living in North County.
Yeah, that might have been it.
Or they were planned really far ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
In my head, it was always just a special thing.
Yeah.
So I moved down pretty, soon after college. I was back here by 79.
So you were living in North County?
Right.
Or Escondido?
That's it.
Okay, that's what it was. Yeah. So it wasn't that far. Yeah. So once a week was not that's a big deal.
Yeah.
All right, we established
But you took a little kid to the skate park. Did you have friends your age? Well, I'm not trying to...
Yeah, no. Yeah, but they were all surf friends.
So when you went to the skate park, you had no skate friends?
Not really, no. No.
Just him?
Just him, yeah. And then,
right, because he would cramp your style if you had, like, your age skate friends, right?
Yeah, but I couldn't really do anything more than just, like,
carve.
Burt carves or anything, you know?
But like, the cool thing is that I would send him into bowls.
Yeah.
And be like, try that one.
But
I didn't want to try it.
Right.
And then I'll never forget the brown tie bowl, which I end up, that was my spot at Oasis, was like where I learned a lot of, you know, my sort of formative moves.
Yeah.
I sent him into it. I'm like, go try that one. And then he went down and carved around it. And I'll never forget, it was super windy. All the stuff was flying up and you know, it's got vert. And you carved around, you came out, you're like, don't do that one.
And did that inspire you to do that one? Or at the
no,
time
no,
you
no.
Like,
that was it. He was the judge, yeah.
So but when did you see him? You go away for a week, you come back, and then all of a sudden you're like, because I was surprised from doing this podcast. I always thought when I saw him my first time in Australia that he was the lucky one, where he, like when he touched the skateboard, everything just happened. No. And then he told me about all the work and that he was not naturally gifted. And I was like, son of a bitch. Like, I can relate to that because I felt like I was the most uncoordinated skateboarder that had ever touched one. When did you see, because when you go away from somebody, you don't see him every day. You see a change. Like, when did you see a shift and how old?
It wasn't so much that I saw how good he was getting. The first thing I noticed was just what crazy, stubborn determination he had.
Right.
That was the thing that stood out.
Can you give us a story?
I remember trying to pick you up one time.
Okay.
I think this was when I was home from college, or maybe I was in North County.
Probably.
Anyway, I was visiting mom and dad. They lived 10 or 15 minutes from Oasis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And dad sent me to go pick you up because we were going to have dinner. And I think it was the first time you ever made a front side rock and roll on that little quarter pipe at Oasis.
Oh, at the end of the Snake Run.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember that.
And I'm like, Tony, come on. Like, we got to go. Dad can. And you were close. And you were pissed because you kept missing. Which you've probably seen once or twice.
Yeah, a little bit.
We've talked about that extensively. Thank you very much.
And anyway,
he, no, I'm he was just like, him.
Like literally, how old do you think you were? 11?
10 or 11. Yeah.
And crying, like I remember just crying. And then he made one, and it was like this just calm came over him and the world. Like,
yeah. Wait, you cried because you couldn't make it?
Probably, yeah.
What do you mean, probably? Own it, dude. You did cry.
I mean, yes. I cried on much less than that back then.
No, I'm
so,
just...
Yeah, for sure.
No, because I get worried. Like, I sometimes... My son is younger, and when he's trying boxing stuff and he can't get it, he gets, like, really upset. And I get worried because I'm like, okay, man, it's not life or death. You know what I mean? Like, you'll get it, you know? But and I'm... Because I hit my head so much... I can't remember if I got that upset about stuff when I was his age, but it freaks me out a little bit. And to know that you got that upset to not make a frontside rock makes me feel way calmer about his journey because it just means he really cares, right?
God, you know what just occurred to me was you were really good at math as a student, right?
Yeah.
And the thing that differentiates math from so many other subjects is it's A or B. It's yes or no. You either get it right or you don't.
Yes.
Right. So you work for hours on a problem and here's the answer. Is it correct? Yes. Oh, I did it. Unlike what I do writing where it's never finished. It could always be better. And, but that's kind of what it's like when you learn a trick. Like once you learn it.
It's the equation. Yeah, for sure.
You got it. Yeah. Like I did it. Now I can do that.
Yeah. Well, it used to be.
Yeah.
I know, tricks got so technical. It's like, I just want one in my life.
Right. Again, yeah. But there it is. You did.
Yeah, you did. You got the equation once.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
For 20 minutes.
You're the Oppenheimer of Wait.
So when you made that frontside rock, did you pretty much have it down after that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then I started learning on bigger stuff. And Steve actually shot, I don't know if you remember this, he shot photos of me the first time I ever got above the lip doing a backside air.
Do you have those?
Yeah.
Yeah. A really cool. I had this. Yeah. I got a really good camera as a gift.
Like a backside kick turn or?
No, backside air.
Oh, like oh, an
my
aerial.
First backside air above the coping.
Oh, okay.
He was there to shoot it in that bowl that I sent him into probably like a year prior.
I shot it from the bowl, from back like down below. Yeah. Yeah. It's a cool shot.
And what kind of bowl was that?
Oh, my. It's Dave Andrick. I don't have it here. Dave Andrick.
Wait, is that the place where Dave Andrick only the channel or where he invented the method air? Is that the bowl?
That's the bowl, but that's not. Yeah, he did jump that one. Yeah.
That. Yeah. He did a big. He aired that whole gap,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not in the bowl I'm riding. The bowl I was riding was the brown tile. That's the blue tile. So there was. I rode the other one because everyone else rode the one with the gap.
Why did everybody ride that?
Because that was just the better bowl.
And you why were you in the jank one? Because you get more rides.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah, straight up, yeah. And also yeah. it had this weird, so it was a teardrop, right? But then as the walls would come in, they would go mellow and then they went to flat.
Ew.
So you could choose.
What is the point of that?
It was awesome for me because I could choose how far I want to roll in.
Oh.
No one did, like you did axle drops kind of, but everyone mostly just rolled in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I could go like one more coping block and roll in until I finally got to vert. So for me, it was my training ground.
Right. So that's why you can roll into pools so easily because you had like a starter kit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like mini ramps in the 90s where there was, like when I came to America, there was mini ramps that went doot, 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 doot. And I'm like, you can do blunder fakie on 2 foot, learn 3 foot, here, 4 foot, yeah, 5 yeah, yeah, foot yeah, yeah. until you get to vert.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, but the wall was, the flats came up too. So the wall was kind of hard to ride as a wall.
Okay.
But you could work your way up to dropping in.
They don't make stuff like that anymore, right? Like,
no, I really want to remake that bowl.
Do you think you would have as much fun?
But I think it's cool.
Do you think that you would ride it more than one time?
I don't know.
Like you think you'd go, cool, we made it. No, you know, okay, I gotta go.
I'd make it and I'd send Steve down it.
Yeah, that'd be.
Do you skate still?
No.
When was the last time you rolled on a skateboard?
Oh, 6 months ago, I have a longboard.
Right. You can skate because you can surf.
Yeah, the problem is I push Mongo and I'm embarrassed to go out in public.
You should be. The hell is that?
Yeah, but at your age, you get a pass. I mean, anyone, even our age, gets a pass.
You told me that, but I will wear that as a, like, Tony Hawk gives me a pass for pushing Mongo.
He should really be standing there because the badge, I'll be like, shit, right? Anybody could have wrote that.
But there is something to be said for when you see older people, but also surfers near the beach pushing, you're like, that's a surfer.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's how it is, like in terms of our view of it.
You or Bill Danforth, no worries.
Yeah.
Mongo away. Yeah.
But he still rides heavy surf. I mean, he lives near Mavericks.
I live near Mavericks.
Yeah, you don't surf Mavericks.
But yeah, but you surf. I mean, I went surfing with you once up there, and it was, I'm not the most, you know.
You can surf.
I can surf, but I'm not the most confident out there, especially in big waves.
Yeah.
And there were some closeout sets where I was like, I don't feel comfortable here.
And he was in it.
Of course he's in it.
Right.
All day.
I don't understand how much you would go surfing if it's cold.
Well, you know what? Actually, wetsuits are really good now. So that's the thing.
I was surfing with you in Texas, and it was freezing.
Okay, well, that's a whole different thing. Yeah, that was in the 40s.
But you surf in
Alaska.
Alaska.
When I surf in Alaska, the water usually is in the upper 40s to low 50s, and the air is about the same. So
it's a cold plunge.
I know. He was trying to talk me into going on the trip. I was like, that doesn't sound comfortable.
You get to it's crazy because you're older. When you get to a certain age, it's like, I want to do stuff, I want to be a thrill seeker, but if it's going to be cold out, I'm like, I mean, I like blankets, you know what I mean? Like, I like
snowboard.
Yeah, but if it's cold when it's snowboarding, I don't want to go. Like, if I'm there, I'm like, oh god, okay, I'll go. But if it's like real windy and bad weather, would I rather have a hot cocoa and just chill for the day? Hell yeah. But it's like, man, let's hit the rails. And I'd be like, it's blizzarding. Like, no, it's good. But it's, if it's sunny, hell yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.
Boom.
It's the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your terms. Squarespace can help you with email campaigns. Make outreach automatic with email marketing tools that engage your community, drive sales, and simplify audience management. Introduce your brand or business to unlimited new subscribers with flexible email templates, then create custom segments to send targeted campaigns. Built-in analytics measure the impact of every email sent.
Measure your end-to-end online performance with powerful website and seller analytics. Get insight on top traffic sources, understand your reach is growing, track sale metrics, and learn where to focus new engagement. It's all the data you need to scale your brand or business. Fully integrated and clearly displayed.
And Fluid Engine. With Fluid Engine, the next generation website editor from Squarespace. It's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity. Choose your website, starting point, and customize every design detail with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. Stretch your imagination online with Fluid Engine included in any Squarespace site. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/hawk, that's H-A-W-K, to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Like even surfing, sunny surf, woo, cold surf. Like when we surfed that day, you gave me the gloves. It changed my whole perspective of that day because there was just a time there where my hands felt it. Like the cold, when I get in the cold plunge, the worst thing is my hands.
Yeah.
Like I'll do 1 minute of hands and then I'm like, nah. And I'll just do the rest of my body and my hands because they sting. And then when you were like, yeah, man, try these on. I'm done. And I put them on. I was like, oh, this is so much easier to do. But you were saying that is not as cold as what
Alaska.
Is it? Alaska. Like but there's ice in the water, right?
It's like when people go out backcountry snowboarding or anything like that. You just gear up for it, you know. So I've been way colder surfing in swim trunks in Hawaii when the sun's setting, and it's like 70 degrees out and the wind's blowing, because your core temperature drops. But when you got a wetsuit on.
Okay.
You know, you can surf in 33 degree water for.
You should go on the next Alaska trip with him.
I like that face. That's a cool face. Yeah. Do you that again.
The skipper will throw you.
I've never wanted one more time. I've never wanted to punch your face more than the right there. Dude, that face was so cold.
The skipper will make you walk the plank because you'll be whining so much like a bitch.
Oh. I'm
not going to argue. I hate being cold. But it's the initial get in, right? Like once you get in and the wetsuit warms it up, then you're good. But the first bit,
yeah. But even that, no, that's not true. So it's in a wetsuit, you're just never cold. Like when I surf in Alaska, this boat we're on has this heated room for the wetsuit. So you put the wetsuit on there, and you're putting on like a 5 mil wetsuit, 6 mil wetsuit, thick gloves. By the time you get out of that room in this wetsuit, which is like 80 degrees, you want to get cold.
Okay.
So you get out and you jump in the water, and the water doesn't really seep in except just a little bit. And
how long can you stay in the water?
Your body warms it up. So
how long can you stay in the water?
I don't get out of the water because I'm tired. Yeah. Unless the wind's really blowing and you get cold.
Did the sharks go, or is it too cold for sharks?
No, up in Alaska, there are no sharks. There are some sharks. They're salmon sharks, but they don't go after humans.
The
ones you got to worry about are the. Like where I live, there's white sharks, which eat only marine mammals. That the adults eat only seals and sea lions. And,
right, so I'm not going surfing with you and Mavericks. I don't want to go anywhere near that. But I am interested in going to like freezing waters and surfing with stuff because I want to live my life. And that's so far away from anything I'll ever do.
That's the thing about Alaska is that it's like... the skateboarding equivalent, I guess, would be finding like the perfect bowl or ramp or street spot with nobody there.
Yeah.
There's nobody there.
So it's a good way.
Alaska.
And no one's there.
Yeah.
Just NBDs That's all day.
NBDs all day long.
Yeah.
This boat that I go on called the Milo, shout out to Mike McCune, the skipper, has been running surf charters up there for over 10 years now, 15 years. And they've discovered over 150 spots that no one had ever surfed before.
So just mad waves.
Yeah. And it's not giant either because it's the backs of the storms up there in the Gulf of Alaska. They move down toward the West Coast. That's why Mavericks get so big because those storms move towards us. They're getting the waves that's kind of spin off on the backsides for the most part.
The reef is in front of you still though, right?
A lot of it's sand bottom, beach break.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
I love Sandbottom.
Didn't you go, I forget, you guys were waiting for icebergs to fall.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
To catch the wave off the splash. That's pretty sick.
Yeah, but that's real cold.
But that was cold. But we were on stand-up paddle.
Did you say that's cold? That to you cold. It was cold?
Yeah.
Right.
I got I've also surfed Antarctica. I did that in 2000.
Why would you do that?
Because we were the first.
It's colder.
Because it was just colder. Yes, yeah, like kelp.
How long does it take to get to Antarctica?
So you fly all the way to Ushuaia, which is the southernmost city in South America.
Yeah.
And then you go across the Drake's Passage, which is, in our case, about 2.5-3 day sail.
Wait, you're in a sailboat?
A sailboat with a motor. We actually motored most of the time.
What do you do on the sailboat?
That's how you find the waves. You can't. There's no other way to get to them. Like, you can't, like, land a plane and...
Yeah, you didn't answer the question. What do you do on a sailboat? Eat?
I don't understand what you mean. You sail.
Yeah, but you just sit there, right?
Like, yeah, what do
you
do? He's got the boredom factor.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
That was a long time ago, too. So cell phones were still all kind of new at the time. So
there are no cell phones.
Off the grid. I mean, you were off the grid.
Totally
so
off the grid. Well, I was down there kind of blogging for this website, so I had satellite phones and I could uplink, but I wasn't socializing.
But you now just, could
you,
I?
You go down with people you like.
Could I TikTok?
There's a no TikTok rule in all of Antarctica.
What about those goggles where you can like watch NBA games and stuff?
No,
I can't wear that.
Yeah,
right.
No.
So I'm going to get real hardcore. I'm going to get back to the roots of like who I was supposed to be.
Exactly.
Like a human being.
Right.
Without any
distractions.
Yeah, yeah, robots inside my mind. So to speak.
Yeah.
We played. That's one way of putting it.
And then freezing my balls off. But
yeah. Think about Steve though. That was cool. So what Steve was always a super good writer, right? When I was growing up and would help me just with my papers and stuff like that. But it was always like, oh, he's a super good writer, and then he worked in a newspaper. And then when the job of editor of Surfer came available, It was pretty amazing that you got that job. I mean, I know you had everything it took, but it was just like, he's the guy who's the best writer and lifelong passionate surfer. Like, I can't believe that this job
came up. Yeah. So I was freelancing for a couple of the Surf Mags, Surfer and Surfing, and I was working for a newspaper in Orange County, which is where both of the Surf Mags are based in Orange County, or were. They're both dead now. They're all dead now, except for one. When I got the job, they came to me through a headhunter. And it was a headhunter who I had done a favor for and gotten you to replace the guy's son's skateboard when his son's skateboard got ripped off.
Like, really?
3 years before.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was crazy, the coincidence there. But I remember when I got the job, I called up. I didn't tell anybody that I was in the running for it. I called up a couple of my best friends from Santa Barbara and said, dude, you're not going to believe it. Like, I just got the dream job. And literally my one friend said, what, like editor of Surfer magazine or something? And
right.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Because it was the first surf mag. It was the first action sports mag. Started in 1960.
Yeah.
It called itself kind of pretentiously the Bible of the sport.
Yeah. So does that mean you're traveling the world?
I didn't, you know, I did travel some, but I was so busy in the office that I like sent people places, but I got to go to some pretty cool places on Surfer's Dime. Yeah.
Do you like traveling or do you like staying home?
As I get older, I more and more I like staying home for sure. Yeah, but there was a time when I've only traveled. Like, I've been to Europe, but only on the coast. You know,
just for surf trips.
Yep. Yeah, I've been to Indonesia, but only on the coast. I mean,
when I went to Australia the first time, Steve pitched it to, was it Transworld? TWS? He pitched to TWS like, hey, Tony's going to Australia for the first time with a couple, you know, Bones Brigade.
Yeah.
I'll go and write about it for you guys if you send me.
That's
and
a good idea.
Then he parlayed that with, if we go, you and I have to go to New Zealand and go surf.
Yeah. Right. Wait, New Zealand has better surf than Australia?
Not necessarily, but I think less crowded surf.
Like, yeah.
So we
it's
you really
colder.
Like the whole surfing with nobody around thing, huh?
Yeah.
We went, did the Australian tour, and then...
Hey, man, I just skated by myself. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It sucked, but I get it. I hate skating.
But watch what you wish for, because then he had to spend a week with me in an RV.
Oh, that was a memorable trip. We had a gas on that trip.
You like it?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah,
but it was cool. Like on you know, kind of on TWS's dime,
kind of,
yeah. And on Powell's dime.
Yeah, because
we got a surf trip
right
to New Zealand for a week.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty sick.
We went in a caravan.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was cool.
So you guys have always liked hanging out with each other.
We actually do. Yeah, like yesterday, I was with him when he drove up to LA to record your podcast with someone. Can I say who?
Nyjah. Yeah,
with Nyjah, and fuck, we were stuck in traffic for 6 hours probably total.
Oh, yeah.
3 hours up, 3 hours back.
I mean,
yeah.
Yesterday it was just pouring the whole time.
Yeah.
And sure. I don't know if you know it, but no, he's pretty good company.
Yeah, I like him too.
He's a good guy to hang with.
I'm trying to think of the day that he annoyed me.
The day? The one day?
If you did. I don't think you've ever.
I thought it was like this monumental.
No, I don't think there's ever been a day. Time when I was like, oh, shut up, Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever thought that, ever.
Except when I'm trying to get you to go on his Alaska trip.
I'm seriously contemplating.
He's down, yeah.
Not because of you though, because
but you'll appreciate this. He when he did plan that trip, he talked to a bunch of our kids about it, including his kids.
The Alaska trip.
About the Alaska trip, like, yes. Hey, you know, I'm gonna go to Alaska. And my kids are they're agreeable to stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when the time comes, they'll be like, oh, I think I'm gonna do, you know, and he's like, yeah, you know, I talked to Keegan, he's into it, and I talked to Riley. I was like, sure, they're good into luck. It.
Yeah.
You and Kathy both like, no fucking
yeah,
way.
And I was good like, luck. But they have to secure their spot. They have to pay ahead of time.
Yeah.
They're not committing to something 6 months from now.
No.
Right.
They won't even commit to dinner tomorrow.
Do you understand them well?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you have the same type of experiences. Oh, it's like, oh, Dad, I think I'm going to do this instead.
No,
of the thing that we planned forever ago.
A week ago, he canceled on his birthday.
Yeah.
Dinner.
That, exactly.
And I'm like, it's your birthday. Like, yeah. I don't see... Yeah, but a bit tired from snowboarding. I was like, okay, so Tuesday? Yeah, okay, that's definitely Tuesday. And I'm just like, oh, okay.
But I appreciated your passion in trying to make it work.
Yeah.
And it was more and more of a curiosity, like, is he really going to make this work? Like, is he going to get those guys?
Did anybody go?
I think Keegan will go.
You do?
I do.
Yeah, he likes the adventure. But that's the easier thing. Like, Keegan is like, well, if something else comes up.
Yeah. But he's spent some time surfing in Oregon, so he's not that intimidated.
I mean, he's living in Boulder, and he's used to the cold by now, for sure.
To Keegan, if you're listening, Alaska, the Milo.
So how long in total are you gone when you go to Alaska?
Last time I went, I was on the boat for 12 days. But that was an interesting trip because they went, I was part of this, I was one leg of a five-leg journey that went from Dutch Harbor, which is where all that wild crabbing show is shot. What's it called? The America's Deadliest Catch.
Oh, Deadliest Catch, yeah.
So that it's all in the Bering Sea. And the boat went from the beginning of the Aleutians to the very last island in the Aleutians, like 600 miles, 300 miles from Russia, and then back over 2.5 months. And I did 12 days of that.
Can you do a shorter amount of time?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they do little runs out of the boat space in Homer. You can go out for 3 days. Steve-O's been on the boat.
Oh, really?
He did a whole show on it, yeah. So he jumped into the a bay filled with ice off the boat naked.
Yeah
that's on brand.
You got to know what you're good at, you know?
Yeah.
With your strengths.
Yeah.
That's what he's good at, man.
That's his strength.
Yeah.
I don't think his penis has recovered, actually. It's still...
I don't think it...
Retreat.
I don't think he had to worry about it in the first place. Some people can let it freeze and it don't make a difference. This podcast is brought to you by Outer Known. Did you know that Kelly Slater made it up and it's like from recycling stuff? I didn't know that until I got sponsored by it, but they gave me mad boxes of stuff and I wear it all the time. They got sweet t-shirts, they got ones with a little pocket in and stuff, but they fit good, they last long, and then they got these fleecy jackets and stuff and they're all comfortable. They got blanket shirts, Apex trunks. Wait, they're tested by Kelly Slater? Sick! CEA jeans. I got those. They're really good too. Everything they make is really good. I don't know how Kelly Slater recycled it, but it's very impressive. Go to outerknown.com today and enter the code WOLF at checkout and you'll get 25% off your full price order. That's outerknown.com, outerknown.com, And remember to use the code WOLF at checkout for 25% off. Check them out today. OuterKnown.com. And don't forget, promo code WOLF for 25% off. I've never had 12 days off.
Like, since I had a way ahead.
Since I had a job at Sirius, I've never had 12. Like, 12, you can't have 12. I remember asking for 12, and they were like, no, you can have 10. And I was like, okay, well, I'll have 10. Like,
10 that you've accumulated over the course of a year and a half.
Yeah. And even that felt like there was a time there because I was so consistent with being there and 5 days a week that the amount of hate that I got from the fans for being away for 10 days. I see how you feel about your fans.
I was going to say, this podcast keeps us from going anywhere for more than 10 days.
Right. I talked to Brianna about going because Ari Shaffir was on, and Ari was always somebody that, like, I didn't know him that well, but, like, I knew of these times where he would just take his passport and just take off. And I'm like, you're a stand-up comedian. Like, you have things to do, places to be. He's like, well, I don't care. Like, see you later. Fuck you guys. And I could tell by the way he said it, it was so confident. Liberating. I was like, I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Brianna about it the other day. She's like, you could go. I was like, where can I? What are you talking about? How can I go? I've got 5 dogs and a cat and a dragon and 2 kids and 2 podcasts and 3 live shows. Like, I cannot.
Wow.
She's like, you could just do it. I'm like, yeah, I could just be a dick.
Steve's retired, so he can do whatever he wants.
Retired from the 9-to-5 world, but I'm still working.
Yeah. You still work, though.
Yeah. But basically, my day's schedule kind of revolve around the surf, so.
Wait.
Yeah.
Your day is scheduled around when you go surfing?
Well, so like it really kind of depends on every morning I get up and look at the wind and if it's going to be good anywhere because I can go for a couple hours. I don't have to.
What's the furthest you'll drive when you wake up in the morning when you see
not that far anymore. Half hour.
Okay. Yeah,
45 minutes.
But it seems like there's always surf near your area.
There's always surf, but a lot of times it's too big or there's too much wind or the.
Do you ever get a plane to go surf?
Not in California, but I did my first trip to Alaska. We hired a bush plane and landed on the beach.
A bush plane?
With the skis?
No, wheels.
Oh, really?
It was crazy. The guy.
Oh, wow.
We were staying. We were in Yakutat, and we wanted to scout this.
You were in Yakutat?
Yeah. Do you know that Yakutat?
Do I look like I know where Yakutat is? The hell. Yak Attack is a place? Man, if you're in Yak Attack, you suck balls. You better be surfing. Is that where the surf is?
That's the entry point.
Yak Attack.
Yeah.
Am I saying it right?
Yak Attack.
Yak Attack.
Yeah.
Yak Attack sounds cooler. Is there yaks there?
Do you want to hear the story or do you want to just talk about the word?
I'm kind of... Go ahead,
you wonder
Steve.
Where I got my sarcasm.
Yeah, no. All right.
Now I've completely forgotten.
We're talking about Yak Attack.
We're talking about the plane, but
yeah. So anyway, we wanted to go check to see if there's any surf. We thought there might be a spot like kind of across this bay, called Icy Bay, and we're flying around. We got our boards in the back of the plane, and we drove by this river mouth. It was a glacial river mouth, so the water was all gray and silty, and there was this sandbar with this just roping little left, like shoulder high, perfect little beach break sandbar. And we did a couple of turns over it, and the beach was wide. So the pilot came down and did a touch and go where he put the wheels on the sand and then lifted off and then circled back around and came over those and tilted the plane so he could look to see how far the wheels had gone into the sand to see if it was hard enough to land. And then came around and brought us down and just motored right up to this surf spot.
That's extreme.
It was insane.
Yeah. That's kind of into that.
That's living.
That's thrill seeking right there. That's pretty amazing. I kind of like that guy. Yeah. And then it's cold, right, in the water?
Yeah.
Right.
But again, we had these things called wetsuits.
Yep.
They keep you warm.
I hear what you're throwing down.
But so I'm going to take... through the timeline of Steve's careers. After Surfer, you moved to NorCal because of .com stuff.
Yeah, for Surfline.com.
Surfline, yeah.
Yeah, they had a lot of money at that time, the big editorial staff, and they were doing a skateboard site that Sean Mortimer was.
That's right, yeah. And
snowboard site. And
what was snowboard site? Cross Rocket?
Cross Rocket.
CrossRocket.com? Yeah. That's a sick name.
And Monster Skate, yeah.
But, oh, yeah.
But the .com crash happened right at the beginning of all that. Like, Cross Rocket never actually launched.
And we had really?
Tons of content. Yeah, it was a bummer. Yes, he did that for a few years. At one point, I had like 35 people working under me there. And then it went for like 15, and then 5, and then 2. And me and another dude.
And then you did the foundation.
Then, launched the Tony Hawk Foundation.
We launched the foundation. It was we were the only employees at one point.
The skate park
of the Tony Hawk Foundation, yeah.
Whose idea was it?
Tony's and Pat's, really. Mm-hmm. Our sister Pat, who was his manager for a long time.
Yeah.
But I remember you, the real genesis was when you first skated the Carlsbad Park, right? Wasn't that it? Or
I skated a park outside of Chicago that was designed like the Carlsbad Park, but worse.
Yes. This is a great story.
And I could tell it was the same designer, like the same builder. And I was just, and it was just, I mean, there would be like a set of stairs into a wall and every ledge was this high. So you couldn't even clear your wheels on it if you were trying to lip slide or board slide it. It was terrible. Yeah. There was a snake run that was a winding sidewalk with little berms, like just little berms that you would see in a sand dune or something.
And it was made for skateboarding.
That was the snake run.
The thing.
The guy
like basically
made...
it was a lump that came out that's supposed to be the bank that you ride.
Yeah.
But it wasn't even high enough to really get on it.
Yeah.
And then these every bank was like this, like didn't, yeah. But no distance. So, you know, it was just, everything sucked.
Why did people that sucked get the job of building skate parks?
Because the city said, we want to build a skate park. They're trying to be cool, proactive, new, which I respect. But then they put it out to bid for anyone that, like, who build a skate park.
And they're sort of obligated to take the lowest bid.
Yeah, so this guy that makes, so this company that makes sidewalks said, we can make a skate park.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
And tell them the story how when you got there that you said, this skate park's not very good. And they said, that's what all the skaters told us.
Yeah.
And then they told the skaters, yeah, but wait till Tony Hawk gets here. He'll show you how it's supposed
to be. Yeah, that is literally what happened.
Yeah.
And that was the moment where I was like, someone's got to do something about this because this is going to keep happening.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was the catalyst to start the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But more also to give funding to more underserved areas.
Yeah.
Because this place was pretty affluent. Like this is a pretty wealthy suburb outside Chicago.
Right.
I just felt bad for the kids because they obviously were seeing it being built and they were like, this is lame. Like, yeah, right. Well,
that, and even if you don't skate, if you build a skate park that is super rideable and fun, like, you're more inclined to stay and, like, become possessed to skate.
Yeah.
You know? Well, but this city thought they were alleviating all the problems of kids skating public property.
Right.
Yeah, and the mall and the, whatever. And then they build this park that's worse than any local skate spot.
Right. There was probably like a bank that was down the road that was 1,000 times better
fun,
and it wasn't
made
for it. I know.
Yeah. But that was it. And then Steve and we had the idea for the foundation. And then I did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, Celebrity Sports Edition. And Steve was my lifeline to call.
You're smarter than Tony, right?
No, but maybe definitely not smarter, but more well-read.
Yeah. So you don't. Well, how come
in our eyes that's smarter?
He's smarter than you for sure. Yeah. I can tell by talking to him. Believe it or not, I can tell smart people.
No.
But you don't like being cool. Like, you're not a show off at all, huh?
I don't know how to answer that because part of me thinks, yeah, I'm cool. I want to be cool. My whole life, I wanted to be cool. I was a surfer growing up. You know.
Were you competitive ever?
Cool. As a surfer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I competed in high school and in college. Yeah, but never like professionally.
Are you proud of yourself that you're a better surfer than him?
Oh my god,
feels good, right?
I mean, we're 40 plus years on, and I still don't hear the end of it.
Yeah.
Oh,
he wrote that I was a wuss in the water in Surfer Magazine in an editorial.
Good.
Well, Yeah. And
I had no idea.
It's so funny because you mentioned that recently, and I never realized how badly that stung until you talked about it just like a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
But so here's why I wrote it. Before I became the editor of Survivor.
He's such a bitch in the water, dude.
Actually, the problem is now that we're older, when we go to like Kelly's wave pool, once he's on his feet, he's actually, I think, better than me. He can do airs and stuff, but if we go out in the wild,
right?
Where you have I get full panic mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like if the wave closes out, I mean, we talk about Tavaroa too. Yeah. I got held down to Tavaroa. I got freaked out.
Yeah.
He had to talk me off the ledge.
Yeah, I've been there and I've been terrified.
Yeah.
I'm scared of real waves. That's what I call them.
Yeah.
Because Kelly's, I've been there and I was like, people are very good to watch this concrete. And I was like, shut up. Like, so, I will not be intimidated by that wave. But at a real wave, it's the when it starts to arc up and then all the little bumpy rock things come out in front of me. I'm like, what is that? What is this bullshit? Like, I don't want to be part of that. Such a terrible. It's like, to me, it's like doing a backside and all of a sudden, like, just daggers come out of the flat bottom. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, what?
But I've said that many times when they're like, how could you be scared of surfing big waves or heavy waves when you ride 15, 20-foot ramps? I'm like, because the ramp is not going to come after me after I fall.
Yeah, like after
and hold me underwater.
Yeah, yeah. Imagine slamming and then somebody puts your head in a toilet bowl and holds it in there.
That's it.
No matter what you do, it doesn't let you take your head out. Like, that's not cool, man.
Just got to relax. Eventually they go by.
Whatever. That is not what happens. Man, Tavaroa got me.
That's the key.
Like, before I served the bigger set, I was out there in 3-foot waves, and a set came in and held me down for 3 waves. And the third one, when I came up, I was ready to panic. Like, when I came out, I was like, and I'm like, if another wave hit me now, I'm going to start freaking out. Because it was, I remember, like, when I got to the top and I was like, I don't have any more. Yeah. Like, that was, I needed the air right when my lips got to the surface or I was going to start drowning.
Yeah,
and I was like, note to self, don't be in here again.
What's been the heaviest waves that you're like hold down for you?
Not Mavericks. I've surfed Mavericks a few times, but I've never gotten beat there, so I've lucked out. And I surfed on the really really small days, and I sit way off to the side.
What's really really
small? He got a photo in Surfer surfing Mavericks.
What's real small?
That, when I was editor.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
That I put in.
Yeah.
See, here I am, surfing Mavericks. Yeah.
But what's small? But
that was the context. He's getting hit in the head by the lip.
That was the context of why I called you a wuss that time, because I had written for the mags, and I actually did a trip to Costa Rica with a buddy, and it was just me and a couple other guys, and my friend got a bunch of photos, and I wrote an article about it. We sold it to Surfer. It was the first thing I ever had published in a surf mag, and we didn't know what photos they were going to use. It was like 6 pages. Down at Pavones. And the article comes out. I ran to a surf shop and I got it. And I got to that article and there was not a photo of me. And I was so pissed. And then
you had submitted photos of you, obviously.
He did, yeah.
Yep.
And then like 6 months later, there was an article on the surf skate hybrid thing. And there was a photo of you.
Oh, in Surfer.
In Surfer. And I grew up a surfer. And I'm the surfer.
You're way better than Tony. We've already established that. Yeah.
So that was the thing that pissed me off. Is that when I became editor, I finally ran a photo of myself on a pretty good wave that I was wiping out on and said, it should have been me. And instead it was my brother. And let me just say, I love my brother to death. He's the greatest skateboarder in the world, but he's kind of a puss in the water.
Totally justified.
But of course, in his mind, Tony called me a pussy. Like that's what he says, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah,
that did happen. Close. Yeah. Close enough.
It's pretty funny.
You I like it. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the most scared I've ever been was probably at a spot called Scott Creek, which is between Half Moon Bay and Santa Cruz. It's a kind of a poor man's sunset beach. It's a big wave, but not nearly anything like Mavericks. And I was out there on a pretty big day, and a closeout set came, which is really rare there, which means it was really big. And the third wave held me down so long that I had to climb my leash to go back to the surface because my board was like tombstoning.
Tombstoning, yeah. My board was tombstoning from one wave in Tavarua, and I was panicked.
Yeah.
Imagine getting held. I came up between every wave, but by the time I was the third one, came up in the third one. If there had been a fourth one, I might have been in trouble. But so that's the worst.
Yeah, yeah, but you're, I mean, I've seen you out there, and you. I think it's what I've noticed and what I think is amazing is when you're out surfing, especially when we're out surfing, I see you just take off to go over here. I'm like, what the fuck is he going? And then some wave materializes from the great distance.
You can read the waves out back, right?
Yeah, and that's from 50 years of doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but still... I'm just like, there were no waves there before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one showed up when Steve paddled over to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the opposite ability. I don't even know where the wave is at Kelly's wave. He put me in it the first time. He's like, stand here. I'm like, oh, okay. Point that way. I'm like, okay. Paddle now, if you say so. I feel like I wasn't going to get up without him.
Yeah.
No, that was Texas, right? Yeah, it was Texas.
That was Texas.
Because you had to take off on a different angle than a normal wave.
He and I got to go to Kelly's in the like early, early days.
That was a star-studded show. You, Sean White, Kelly.
Oh, Eddie Vedder.
No way.
Eddie Vedder.
That's hilarious.
And I remember Steve taking off on the first wave and getting up. I was just like, damn it.
Yeah. That's the most fun I've had surfing. Like I was, because I surfed Tavarua. That was the best I've ever done, but I was in full panic the whole time. I did not have 1 second where I was like, yeah, I was just like, I'm dead. And I was like, I'm not dead. And then another wave came for me to paddle over and I was like, I'm dead. And I didn't die. And I was like, get me the fuck out of here.
After my tombstone, I went to the boat.
Yeah.
And then he paddled over to the boat and he's like, you gotta get back out there.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to get back out there.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you don't get back out there, you won't want to surf anything significant ever again.
Yeah.
And he's like, just don't catch the first wave of the set. That's what you did, which was true.
Right.
I think the maddest I've ever seen you at me actually was at Tavarua when we paddled out to restaurants, which is
I wasn't mad. I was in pain.
And, oh, wow.
And you're not supposed to surf restaurants on low tide, but
because the reef is out a lot, right?
The reef is out of the water. But sometimes on low tide, it'll pull away from the reef and nobody's out there. And the owner came up to me and said, it's pretty good out there right now. You guys should think about it. Yeah. I said, Tony, come on, let's go out. There's nobody out.
Yeah.
I'm accountable for my choice, though. I went with him. I was like, yeah, let's go. And then as we went, the winds kind of shifted. So there were these bumps when you take off.
Yeah.
And you've seen surfing when people hit a bump on the way down. Yeah. And it's just over.
Yeah.
It was over for me on the first wave. And then I got dragged across. So
you know, at Cloudbreak, there's this stuff called stag coral, which is that.
I've been there.
Looks like, yeah. The inside part of the wave is called shish kebabs.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Yeah. So
it is the most terrifying.
I remember falling and then the wave caught me and brought me back up and I was like, I'm going to hit something.
Yeah.
And then I feel it on my back and on my butt. Like it was all on my back.
Yeah.
On my butt.
That's right. It was your back and your butt, not your thighs.
And just murderous blood coming down my back. I was like, God. And then I went inside. Because it's over, right? So I go inside, and then I cleaned up my wounds, and then I start getting this allergic reaction all around my ass and my crotch, sea lice.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And because I had hit the reef.
Wait, you had sea lice on your crotch?
Yeah. It was all over. Like, it was basically this.
Wait. I had a different guy. It's another... We don't need to go there. Just as bad.
Let's just say it didn't have to be removed because it was already gone, but it was...
Wait, what was gone?
The sea lice. Like, oh, I mean, it did its damage and then it got washed out. But what happened was because I hit the reef, I dislodged all the sea lice and then it just was all around me. And then I got this crazy allergic reaction to it. And so I just had hives all... Like, wherever my bathing suit was, it was all hives.
Oh...
And then that's when I was like, this is the dumbest thing that I've ever done.
You followed Steve out
to fucking restaurants.
Wait, I'm sorry. You had like hived privates?
No, it was mostly on my backside.
Okay. You had a hived ass?
The most hived ass. Yeah. I took Benadryl.
I think we have a title for this episode.
Yeah. I took two Benadryl ass. And You know what happens if you take two Benadryl? You're just gone from the earth.
Oh, makes you tired, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you like feel like you're in space but and tired. Oh, I've been but, this, but it I've went away. There. It went away.
Not from Benadryl, but...
The first question you asked is, have I ever like said, I'm sick of having this famous brother, like, been jealous. I remember when the first Bones Brigade video came out, the very first one that he's on the cover of.
Yeah. You know?
That would have been what year? 80?
Is that Future Primitive?
No, no. Bones Brigade video show?
Oh, the Bones Brigade. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Where you had the final part and first action sports video ever made, that one. That released onto video.
Yep.
And the premiere was at our parents' house.
Yeah.
In
Cardiff. Right there. In the apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody was there. It was a contest, right? So everybody. But I was so stoked on it and so proud of it that you and I did, for some reason, we did a trip to Santa Barbara. I was going back up to see some old college buddies and a bunch of people I'd worked with at this restaurant there called Sun and Earth, hippie restaurant. Mm. And we had a copy of the video, but nobody had a VCR to show it. So I went to a fucking video store and rented a VCR for like $25, which was a lot of money for me back in that day, and gathered all my buddies around to watch my little brother in this video thing, because it was just so cool. In my mind, that was just the coolest thing. Like, because nobody in the surf world had seen that. There was no video access to what you guys were doing in parks.
Yeah.
I saw it because I went to so many of your contests.
Right.
But these guys just didn't know.
Right, and, but not an edited, put together highlight reel of his stuff.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And the finger flip air you do in that was just so mind blowing for the time.
Yeah, we were talking about it. In Australia, there was no magazine of it yet. And there was a guy, I remember a guy in a surf shop telling me, there's this kid that does that. And I was like, nah. Because if you hadn't seen it on video or a photo, it didn't make sense when some, you know, Australian freaking water skier is like, yeah, mate, he flicks it with his hand. And then he flips and then he just grabs it again, puts it on his feet. I'm like, shut up, idiot. That doesn't even make any sense.
You can't explain it.
Right. Especially when you're like a 15-year-old water ski guy trying to tell me. I didn't want to hear it. I was like, shut up. But you played the video in front of all your friends. This is before
the eyes were popped out of their heads like dogs.
But this is before the premiere of people watching it at your parents'
house. No, after that.
Okay. Right after.
Yeah, after that.
He had a VHS tape, but he had a VHS copy of it.
Yeah.
So... You're saying you were a bit jealous that day?
No, I was just, that was my way of telling you how proud I was. Like, I went out and rented this thing to show people. Like, I wasn't jealous at all. I wanted the world to know he was my brother.
Right.
You know, like, that was the thing. I remember I was in a video with my wife, Pam, one of our first dates. We were going to go rent a video to take back to her condo. And there's the Bones Brigade video, and I think Future Primitive was out. Like, they were for rent.
Oh, really? At the store?
Yeah. And some kid was picking it up, and I said, honey, come look at that. I said, that's my brother.
Yeah.
That's my brother. And this kid goes, you wish.
I feel like that's happened to you before.
A couple times.
But to be fair, whenever I am anywhere in the surf industry or encounter surfers or anyone, all they do is talk about him.
All right.
You know, like, oh, you're Steve's brother. Yep. Oh, man, I did this. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm like,
Not so much anymore.
No, still. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not hanging out with the young surfers,
so it doesn't matter. It's all the older guys.
All the world champs from Kelly on, I've never met him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, I never met John Florence. Well, I met him when he was 12, very, very briefly.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm still living off Tony Hawk's nuts, so it's been going pretty well.
Me too. Yep.
Is that when they're
can you say
the allergic reaction or just when they're normal state?
I think hopefully when they're normal.
Okay.
But it's like when anybody's like, you know, they don't want to give me any respect.
Does anybody ever ask you if you changed his diaper?
No.
Like, but have you?
Not what? I'm not that old.
I know. I'm not saying. I mean, recently,
like a fetish thing.
I don't want to be here anymore. Stop.
What did you get?
super
you
weird.
You Steve in the house. Yeah. There you go. This is what you get.
I just want you to call him a pussy. That's really all I came for.
We did that.
That's just the highlight. You want to go surfing someday and like he doesn't want to do something? Be like, don't be such a puss. I'm gonna be so pumped. Even though I'm a bigger vag than all of you combined in the water, but still, just that dynamic is something I can get a.
I will say that behind. We were supposed to go on this boat trip, surf trip.
The two motus.
Two motus. So near Tahiti.
Jared was on that trip.
And
that's warm.
Getting to that. What's that?
That's warm.
Warm. Yeah. Yeah. And
let's go there. Really? Let's go there.
Warm
for
and
days.
lots of options for waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not crazy waves, like mellow waves. Yeah. And the crew wasn't a crazy, and it was the first time I committed to a trip like that.
Yeah.
And the crew wasn't, you know, they're not like hardcore chargers or whatever. Right. So 2 weeks before?
Yeah, something like
that. 2 weeks before, I broke my pelvis.
Oh!
Yeah.
And so gave my spot to Jared, who's right here.
Oh, man.
Was that how you got on the trip?
That's how I got on the trip.
Yeah. I thought you were going the whole time. Huh.
But these guys did go out to Chopu. You know what Chopu is?
Yeah.
That massive wave.
Yeah.
But I'll let you tell the story.
I didn't surf it like in the wave, like the pro surf it.
I didn't get a lot of waves.
But we gave it a
but
sniff.
But you got a wave.
We got a sniff.
No.
Did you get a wave in there?
Define a wave.
What do you mean? this is their spiel.
What is this shit?
So, because they made a pact after they paddled out, they didn't get any waves.
We didn't paddle
out. But they did.
Oh, I thought you did paddle out. So it was breaking.
It was breaking, but there was nobody out. It was surfable, but there was nobody out.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys paddled out, and then we're like, let's just say we paddled out. Scared. You were working with Emilio Estevez.
Oh, I wrote it. I wrote an episode of a, so I got a job, with, I got to work on a HBO show called John from Cincinnati, done by David Milch, who
wrote Deadwood
and did NYPD Blue. A lot of people think he's one of the greatest writers ever in Hollywood. I'd completely lucked into that through my friend Kem Nunn, who wrote some stuff for me when I was a surfer. He's a novelist who writes about surfing, and we worked side by side in that show. And then on the strength of that, I got an agent in Hollywood, and I started trying to write screenplays and television scripts. And I had some friends who made this show called Numbers. It was on CBS about a math who solves crimes for the FBI. And, I wrote an episode of that had surfing in it and stuff about the math behind waves. And by pure coincidence, Emilio Estevez directed it.
Yeah, and I was so hyped to meet him and talk about Repo Man.
I knew you were going to say that, yeah.
So Tony came to the set.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be, he came to the set that day when we were shooting in a surf shop that had a skate section. Mm. And everybody on the crew ended up buying boards out of the shop so Tony could sign them. Just like random boards. That. And the shop guy said it was like one of his best day of sales ever.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm a Young Guns guy more, but
Young Guns?
Yeah, when I watch them now, I'm like, wow, I'm really stupid. But
it's not that. It's just cool. Repo Man was such a.
Yeah, I know.
It's so iconic. It was the first punk movie, probably best punk movie. And
right.
I'm a Breakfast Club.
It's so crazy that Jared's here because we are. There is discussion about Repo Man 2. And they want me involved.
Like recent?
Yes, like recent. Yeah, recent.
You should talk to my good friend Emilio.
What's that?
You should talk to my good friend Emilio.
I don't think he's. I don't think he's part of it, right?
Oh. No.
Jared's the one. This is weird. This is.
Wait, you can't.
We got a whole script. We got a script of Repo Man 2.
But no Emilio in it?
Yeah, I mean, it's more like someone is kind of him. It's hard to explain.
Hmm. Are there plates of shrimp in it?
It's got the same vibe for sure. It's got the same vibe of dialogue, but it's just a weird. Hmm. But at some point they were like, "Well, if you want to fund it, we can make it right now."
Oh, like, I see that.
Well, that's not my thing.
You swim with sharks, Steve?
No.
Why is that a crazy question?
You mean like in a cage?
No, like that lady that swims with tiger sharks and she pats them and stuff.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
Oh.
Yeah, no thanks.
Have you paddled near a shark in your surfing?
You know, I've never seen one when I was in the water.
All right.
Seen them from boats. But the thing about where I live is...
Because you said you live where their great whites are.
Yeah, it's called the Red Triangle. you know.
Wait, a red triangle is like where great whites are known to be in this area?
It's where they
and you surf there.
Yeah. Thousands and thousands
just of casually, people. Casually, yeah. Okay, red triangle, so, great whites all hang out, but I whatever.
Thousands of people surf there every day, and there's maybe one attack a year. So
one a year.
Yeah, if that.
Do they usually
your odds are good.
Yeah.
And they don't
if you're me.
Only like two surfers have ever been killed by whites. They get because they don't want to eat you. They're like the best hunters in the sea. They go back to the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And they're super risk averse. So if they come up and hit something that's not their normal food, they swim away.
Yeah.
Which is not true in Australia. Those white pointers down there, for some reason, they keep coming at people. I don't know what the deal is there.
Yeah, we're a different breed, Steve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, also,
we don't play.
Australians are just generally tastier.
Is that what it is? Yeah, right? Sure. Maybe sharks like Vegemite.
That's probably what it is.
Because yeah. we all eat Vegemite and meat pies. Yeah. Or overall, maybe they're alcoholics, and they can taste the beer on us because we're all alcoholics for sure.
But I was on a boat recently in the Farallones, which is where the feeding ground for all the sharks up there. Like they tag them, and when they put their little sonar thing in the water, there's always. When I was on the boat one time, there were like 13 sharks within distance of this boat, and the big ones. But the last time I went out there about a year and a half ago, we were, they put this decoy out that looks like a seal and trying to bring the sharks up. And you could see you could see a boil and the guys would say, shark up. So you'd run over and you could see these boils, but the water was crystal clear, but you couldn't see the fucking shark until like it was right under you.
Oh no.
So, and these guys had these, GoPro cameras on sticks, and they'd put them down, and the footage is it's just water, you can't see a shark, and then the camera goes underwater, and you realize the shark's like 3 feet away, and they're just not interested. So, what we all talk about where I live in Half Moon Bay is because there's a couple of seal haulouts there where sharks are, and people see them, and there have been a couple of hits. The Mavericks, there have been two or three guys who've gotten bit, the kind of rule of thumb is that everyone's been sniffed. Like sharks they've come near all of us.
Yeah.
But they're good enough hunters to know that you're not what right. they want to eat. So they swim.
Everyone's been sniffed.
We were on a different trip to Fiji. I don't think you're on that one. I think it was a Nixon trip. And Riley and his buddy were with us. And we had just paddled onto the boat from Cloudbreak. It was a small day. And his friend was coming in. And he was last. And we're all just kind of waiting for him, and he's coming. And then all of a sudden, this fin goes between where he is and the boat. Just
a big one?
Big enough. Yeah. And then...
Wow.
And we all looked, and he's like... And we go, shark? And then finally, it was like, hurry up! Get in here! And he just starts scrambling. That was the first time I saw one truly nearby, obviously. And it was like, that could be dangerous. Maybe you should just get in here.
Yeah.
I surfed this spot, and but the scariest I've ever been of sharks, I never saw one. I was at this place in one of the outer islands of Tahiti called Huahine, and there's this break, this really beautiful, perfect right reef called Fiti. It's one of the best-shaped waves in all of Tahiti, but it's shallow and it's heavy. And I had a nautical chart, and I was just there on my own, living in like this little hospice thing. And had a nautical chart that showed that the water between the land and the reef got to 400 feet deep. So you had to paddle across this 400-foot trench.
Sketchy.
To get out there. And I was out there with one other guy, and it was small, like 3 or 4 foot, not that, but shallow. And I made a mistake and went over the falls and landed butt first on the reef and just raked my shorts and my thighs and... I knew I had to paddle back.
Bloodthirsty.
Oh, yeah, leaking blood.
Yeah, leaking blood. And I looked back and I could see it like trailing off.
Oh, my God. It's just a bad movie.
Did you hear the Jaws soundtrack in your head?
Oh, I was so freaked out.
That is so terrifying.
I actually told the guy, heroic moment ever, I think I said, dude, you stay here because I am just going to paddle. You don't want to be near me when I'm paddling back. Cause,
yeah, but I don't want to stay out there after you've bled in the water.
Well, he, also the waves are good. He didn't want to go in.
You guys are stupid.
So I paddled back across, and the I stayed on the reef till I got as close as I could to shore. And as I paddled, you know, the water just changed colors. And it got that deep purple.
Dude, how bad are you bleeding?
Ocean.
Yeah.
And I paddled nonstop for like 25 minutes because it was a really long paddle.
Yeah.
And almost kissed the ground when I got to shore.
But you didn't see a shark.
Didn't see a shark. That's the most scared. But the next day, like this was, I was hurting so bad that I didn't even feel this because my shoulders were so short. So
I swim with sharks. Paddle. And then after I swim with sharks in Hawaii, like where you get off the boat and you hold the rope.
A tiger shark?
Nah, I would have done that, but they were just like crappy. They were like 3-footer pussy sharks for tourists to like dangle off, and they came up pretty close. And I remember looking at them. I'm like, they're like dogs. Like I saw their eyes looking at me. And I'm like, I don't feel threatened by any of these. And then we leave and I go to like some surf shop. And when I go in there, I think I was getting some flippers or something. And the guy goes, there's a shark caught in the some area where when the tide comes out.
Well, the tide drops. It's caught in like a lagoon.
Yeah, it's caught in a lagoon. He's like, there's a white tip caught in the lagoon. And I was like, where? And he's like, right here. And I was like, oh, let me get some goggles and go. And my ex at the time, we both went in there. And there was one guy that was trying to find it. And I'm like, I'm going in there. And I had goggles and flippers on. And I found it. And I was following it around with a GoPro. And my chick was following me. Like, it seemed like...
How big of a shark?
Like 3 or 4 foot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not a 7-foot shark. But it was still one of those ones that looks like a good shark. Like, to me, it looked like...
Like a real shark.
Yeah, like a real one. Like, he had a good face and shit. Like, he had, like, a proper grill and stuff. And I'm following him around, and I'm thinking it's super cute. And every now and then, I would look back at my ex and be like, look at me. Like, I'm swimming with this shark. And then it goes into like a dead end area, and it came back around. And I'd been following it for like 5 minutes, so I was getting closer and closer, feeling safer and safer near it. And then finally it like gets to a dead end and darts back, and it comes swimming towards me. And it was probably like where the camera is to me. And I was like, ah, no, just for a second, because it was all fun. And it was all like, I can't wait to show people that I am in the water with a... There's no captain, tourist, like guy in charge. This is just dumbass Jason and a shark in the ocean. And then it came back and I was like, oh, no. And then it didn't come at me. It just swam by me. But just for a second, I was like, that's what it would feel like. With the regret, you know, where I was like, ah, fuck. But it looked like to me, it was, I'd rather fight a pit bull. You know what I mean? Like, if it had a gun me?
Well, a 3-foot shark, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I feel like I would rather fight a pit bull on the ground than this particular shark who is like, you know what? I'm sick of you following me around, dude. I'm going to maul you. Because it just, he had, you know, water, agile-wise, like, how much skill do I have in the water? There's the whole breathing thing. Like, if I go underwater with him.
That?
Yeah, he doesn't need it. I do. And then I thought, his teeth... They look worse than pit bulls. Like, they're just everywhere, dude. They're like, they come out everywhere. And it's got like some sort of sea creature eyes. You know what I mean? It's like sea creature eyes are way street. They're way tougher than land animals. You know what I mean? Because you've just been in the ocean.
A doll in a horror film or something.
No, mummy never cradled you ever. You know what I mean? You've just been straight up surviving solo your whole existence.
Well, they say that with white sharks that the they'll find a dead female with the unborn babies in its stomach, and the unborn babies will have the teeth of their other babies that were in the stomach with them in their belly.
They ate their brothers and sisters.
In the womb.
So gangster. See what I mean? You can't mess with that guy.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Like when we come out, we can't even walk. These guys have already murdered several people and they haven't even come out yet.
Before they're even...
That's how ready... Emerge. They're ready to fight, man.
That's true.
Cannot beat the mind of a shark.
So Steve, what's next? You're writing a book.
I'm writing a book, yeah. I just had a book come out that I helped on. It's a coffee table book by a photographer on the North Shore of Oahu. The guy's name is Brown Cannon, and it's called North, and it's all portraits of surfers and residents.
I got one. No big deal.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Off the press.
It's like this big and weighs like 8 pounds. It's $200.
It's pretty cool.
Photos are great. So another writer and I, a guy named Bruce Jenkins, who used to write for me when I was at Surfer, we each interviewed like 10 people who are photographed in the book, and they told stories about the North Shore. It's really cool. Just came out like last week. Hmm. It's great. Yeah. And then I'm writing a novel, but that will be done. God knows.
Do you have the name for it yet?
The novel?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called Near Shore. One word, Near Shore. All takes place. It's about a surfer.
I had a feeling about that.
I have a feeling there's more depth to it than just surfing though.
Right.
Actually, it's there's a whole bunch of surf in it, and I'm trying to be really disciplined about never showing anybody right a wave. It's just kind of the world around it.
You don't want to go into the details of the gnarly cutback and the
that's the most boring
sick
part.
Sick air reverse.
Yeah.
We won't talk about
Yeah.
We won't debate surf trick names, by the way.
Yeah, no. fortunately, actually, I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, but Steve has been more accommodating towards me, where it's like, what would this be called? And then there are surfers that are like, no, dude, that's a 360. I'm like,
it's a 180. It's a
or a 540.
540, yeah.
I've seen their arguments to stuff.
Yeah, I since I've never done an air on a skateboard or a surfboard, I just stay away from that.
Yeah. But you have the basic knowledge of skate tricks. So I remember when you first showed me an alley-oop, you're like, is this an alley-oop? Like, yeah. I've never seen that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like backside alley-oop.
Why is an alley-oop called an alley-oop and a basketball where you throw the ball to the guy and he catches it? What's the similarity in those?
Because he's turning one way.
I don't know. Alley-oop just means that someone throws the ball in the air and you jump and catch it and dunk it before you land.
Yeah, what's that got to do with
that? Oh, I thought you catch it and you turn.
No,
that was how I always thought of it.
This guy doesn't even know what a basketball alley-oop is. Steve, can you believe this guy? Have you seen him play basketball? Atrocious. Yeah.
Wow.
Can you play basketball?
I used to play a lot, yeah.
So you're better than Tony.
He snapped his Achilles heel.
Yeah. So he's tenon, better basketball player, better surfer, and better rider.
Yeah, yep. Right. Rider, I don't know. Riding, maybe.
No, rider, like writing books and stuff.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah, like, maybe. This guy can write.
Yeah, right.
My roommates in college were both on the basketball team. They were 6'11 and 6'10.
Yeah.
And they were knee boarders.
That's cheating.
Yeah. Really good knee boarders.
Knee boarders.
Yeah. We used to call them half men.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a nice way to put it. Yeah.
Do you call it a 6'10" dude half
man? Yeah, we got him on.
You got to get something on him.
Yeah.
Right.
Stand up. You're almost there, dude. Just stand up. What the hell?
Oh, I used to, if you want to get into like embarrassing stories, I used to only surf on a boogie board.
Stand up on it?
Yeah. I could surf. Like, I could actually ride waves, and he was tortured by it.
Why did you want
to? Well, after you got good, I was tortured by it. Like, after you figured it out. But I remember watching you the first time you got up on one, on your feet, and trimmed. I was stoked because I thought, oh, fuck, he's got the fever now. He's going to be a surfer.
Wait, you could stand up on a boogie board.
And like, go down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because I was so light. That's pretty much what it was. I was so light that I could get into waves and just stand up and ride it. Yeah, and then I remember remember when you did that thing that was like the most surfers on one wave?
Yeah, that's right. That
and
was
I had
fun.
And he had to pitch me doing it on my boogie board. And they were like
That was right. That was right at like George's.
Right at George's. Yeah. So in Cardiff, we were.
They wanted to set a world record for most people on one wave.
How many people were on it?
I think like 102.
What?
Yeah. Like up and down the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And I remember, I had a smart idea saying let's be like the last ones in line, so when they show the photo, we'll be able to pick ourselves out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And we did that.
You did it.
But I did it on my boogie board.
But you stood up.
I stood up, yeah, but there were people like, sorry, surf.
I don't know, man. Standing up is all this. I changed my opinion completely. Because I'm just like, lying on your tummy is just like, dude.
I know, but it in those days, I mean, this is the 80s too. Yeah. So, you know, it was ruthless out there.
Everybody was a little more hardcore at everything, weren't they?
Sponger and whatever else. But but then one day we were at Moonlight, and you had just come in, and I just took your board and caught a wave and realized how early I could catch it.
Yeah. Oh, because it's so much faster.
So much faster. And then I went down the line. I was like, oh, this is it. I'm surfing now.
So you're a bit stubborn when you're a little. Because why be on that boogie board for that long in the first place?
Yeah, there was no talking him into that stuff. He had to figure it out. Sure.
Yeah, I see that because when I try to tell him to get stem cells, he's like, shit, dude. Like, I'm just going to let it ride out. You know what I mean? I'm like, have you noticed you can't look at me? Like, you have to turn your whole body to see me? He's like, yeah, but I mean, that's just the way it's gonna play out.
Sounds exactly like me. Yeah. Yeah. That's just the way it's going to play out. I mean, I did at some point think, like, I'm just going to resign to, huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He's like, just compensate.
It took Riley. It took Riley to be the catalyst for that. Because Riley wanted to get it done, and so I was going to go with him. Yeah.
Because Riley was like, I'm going because it's going to do something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But Riley is plagued with joint problems.
And you're not.
We talked about it.
And you told me that you've already, I don't know if you've talked about this in the podcast yet, but you already can do the grab.
A week out, I did my first melon grab that I've done since I got hurt.
Yeah, so it helped?
That definitely helped. Yeah. We've already said that.
We're in a gloat now, are we?
Thanks to Jason.
For the rest of my life.
Thanks to Jason, I did a melon grab.
Look, when a guy helps you more times than you can remember, and you've helped him one time, you live in it.
Okay. Put it in a sandwich. Did he connect the dots for us?
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. I gave him deodorant and he didn't take it. Do you want it, Steve?
Oh, no, I'm taking it. I actually looked for it the other day. Okay. I forgot. Well, I'm taking it.
Is there Hume deodorant and body spray?
This is your deal, right?
Yeah.
I'll give one to Steve since he's here now. You gave a whole package.
Is this like signature model?
No, it's... This is what you know, Salema Masakela. My good buddy, host of the X Games.
Salema, I know Salema well, yeah.
Yeah, of course you do, but he
do you
and
want
I...
After rain or wild coral?
Wild coral, like for sure, because...
But they don't test on animals and stuff, and when they don't test on animals, it means it doesn't work, but it does. Like, I got it, and it was like, I'm like, okay, I train MMA, and I'm like, if I don't stink, then it works. And I was like, okay, I really like animals, and it really works, and it smells cool and stuff. So, yeah, I'm a fan.
See, the reason I left it there was because I was waiting for Steve to come.
No, that's for sure what you did. Yeah, no, well done.
No, I'm just scattered.
Yeah, I can't wait to post my video. I couldn't find a cup today, Tony, to do cup cam.
Yeah,
so I did shoe cam. I used my own shoe.
Oh,
to like
I've done that.
Put the phone up against the shoe, but I did slow-mos of like a salad grind over the gap.
But isn't the shoe kind of high? Do you see the top of the shoe on the
Yeah, but
the
my friend painted these shoes, so they're custom shoes, and I use this one, so it says mate in the bottom of the video.
In the frame? It's pretty sick.
So I'm kind of pumped on it. I can't wait to edit it and make it.
That smells good.
That's the one I use. I love that one. That's my favorite. I think it smells like watermelon. They don't say it on there, but that's what I get from it.
Wild coral?
Yeah.
Is watermelon?
Also known for
I'll tell you,
hit your head
when
enough,
wild coral watermelon. Hits your back, it doesn't feel like watermelon.
Right. Yeah, I haven't done that.
Hey, I wanted to...
Before
we sign off, I wanted to jump in and make sure we do pretty good plug for the skate park project.
Yeah.
Which is kicking some ass these days. And has, at this point, I don't know how much you've talked about it on the podcast, but... This was the Tony Hawk Foundation that I helped to launch way back when. I was only worked on it like as an employee for like a year and a half. And then Mickey Vukovic took it over, Tony's old high school friend, who did a great job of turning it into the best organization in the world for getting skate parks built in municipalities, especially municipalities where they weren't really interested in the first place.
Yeah. He was the best advocate.
Yeah. And then he built this incredible machine and... Then he left, and now we have this new executive director who's brilliant at fundraising and at finding funders for specific projects. And we've read about $1 million a year for 20 years, and now I think this year our budget's going to be 3, and next year it'll be 5.
And if you're interested in getting a skate park built, don't message me or Tony. No. You can go to, where would you go, Steve?
No, message Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, DM Steve directly.
DM Steve. Actually, all day. I'm gonna slide into Steve's DMs. You'll get a skate park for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. Guarantee it.
I'm sure Benjamin won't mind if I give out his cell phone number, right?
That too, yeah. No, the process is that you have to apply for a grant and you have to meet certain criteria.
Yeah.
And I mean, you were the one that helped vet all that, because when that first year was just the Wild West,
we would create the
most insane skate park proposals.
Yes, yeah. I feel like I kind of know.
Like
a little
someone
bit.
Wrote on a napkin a bunch of jump ramps. That happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like, just a drawing of
a bunch of jump ramps on like a paper towel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least they were three dimensional. It was a nice little drawing.
Yeah, and it was like, we want a skate park.
Yeah, do better. These guys really want to help, but you need to show that you really want to do something. Yeah.
Well, but also, I'd say the takeaway from all of these years, I mean, it's over 20 years now, is that we want to empower people that do want to put the effort in to getting a skate park.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't want to come in and go, this city needs a skate park, and bling, there you go.
Although that's starting to happen a little bit, because the cities are coming to us. Like the city of New York decided that they want to build a park in all five boroughs, I think, right?
Sick.
To the tune of $3 or $4 million.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah. And they started marking places.
They came to us to say, help us figure out where to put them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And help us find who's going to design them.
Right.
And that's going to, I think we're on the path.
But that is us helping an initiative that they took upon themselves.
Right.
It's not us targeting a city saying that city needs a skate park. Right. We're going to come in and build it. Because then there's no sense of pride or ownership from the locals.
From the locals, yeah. That's right.
And we want them to feel like they were empowered to do it because they wanted to do it. Right. So that's the whole thing. And I feel like that's what you turned us. I mean, literally just saying, let's make a skate park foundation. What does that mean? And then you narrowed it into, this is how we can do it. If we empower the groups and whatever else.
It's an amazing idea, Steve, because skate parks.
But Steve's still a board member. Very active.
They save lives, man.
They really do.
Yeah,
they really do.
Skateboarding saved my life.
We have in some videos of kids.
Because I had one.
It's insane. Because
we had the option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know what.
So skateparks.org.
Skate park. Okay.
Skatepark.org.
Skatepark.org. Yeah. But thanks for doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Well,
in the beginning.
Thanks for taking it. It was crazy.
Like you were. The amount of paperwork that you had to deal with.
The paperwork was insane.
Communication, wild. Like, it was really... And he's just up in Half Moon Bay doing himself, calling me like, we got this and this and this. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, we had to file the incorporation papers with the state and all that shit. That was a hassle.
Wait, are people skating now?
Tate Carew has a TV crew here.
Oh, so I wouldn't have been allowed to skate anyway?
I don't think you would have wanted to.
I'm not intimidated by these turds.
Supposedly, the host is going to skate with him.
Oh.
So we should probably wrap this up and go see that carnage.
Okay. Yeah, let's...
Okay.
Yeah,
I have no idea how long we've gone.
I love watching just get wrecked.
Well,
all right.
Steve Hawk, that's my brother.
Like and describe.
Thank you for...
Like and describe.
Thank you. Oh, thank you for giving me your version of this skateboard.
Yeah. Oh, that's we never get down to that.
This is a reissue of the actual skateboard he rode and gave to me. It was my first skateboard.
Wow, Steve, you're old as fuck.
And where is it now?
Yeah, and that original is now in the Smithsonian.
Yep. I donated it to Smithsonian. It was pretty sick.
That was pretty fun.
With white gloves.
That was you did me a solid there, because they called him up and said, we'd like to have that board. And he said, well, I got to check with my brother. It's his. When it was actually. So we flew
out. I don't know how I held on to that board through all the years. I really don't.
As soon as we gave it to the... to the Smithsonian people and signed the papers, they wouldn't let us touch it without wearing gloves.
Respect.
But
you gave it to the right people then.
But you left out that I grabbed it and skated a mini ramp with it.
And wrote it. And
what, they had a mini ramp in
what did they say when you did that?
At the event.
The guy was freaking out.
Yeah, he was not happy. There's photos of me skating this mini ramp, like, and there's a little extension, so I was trying to get the top of the extension. And you see his hands in the frame of the photo.
Of course, Tony's like, I got to get up there. And
just
actually
one more ride.
Hit coping on it. On this board with head ball. It's
such a nightmare.
Like
well, I don't know what they want. They ask a skateboarder to donate something. That's what they get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chaos.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you all. This is really fun.